Today I'm going to talk about a topic that's probably not so nogea to us in camp, hopefully, but it is a very interesting halachic discussion that has happened over several decades, and it relates to medical ethics. The discussion, and it's based on one of my dear friends, Dr. Eli Rossman, gave a shiur about this in North Woodmere, and so based on the Mar Makomos he gave me, and based on an article by Rabbi Chaim Jachter, just going to present the issue of what does a doctor do or a family do if a person is diagnosed with a terminal illness and telling the person may be bad for him, to tell him exactly what the extent of his diagnosis is. Is one obligated to tell a person of the extent of his diagnosis, the extent of his illness, or is one not obligated to tell a person? Is it better not to tell a person? So it's an interesting ethical question, but like with most situations of ethics, halacha has what to say about ethics as well. So first of all, just as by way of introduction, sometimes knowledge is power, and sometimes ignorance is bliss, meaning it's important to know. Sometimes the more you know, the better off you are, and sometimes people are better off not knowing everything. The question is, how to make this judgment, and often it is a judgment call, and it happens to be that the medical community has shifted on this from min hakotze el hakotze. In 1961, 90% of doctors thought that it was best to withhold the truth, that if a patient had a terminal diagnosis, don't tell him, and that way he'll keep his spirits high and he'll be able to hopefully live a little bit longer. By 1977, less than 20 years later, 16 years later, only 2% of doctors that were polled believed that it's best not to tell him. 98% thought that there's a right to know, the patient has a right to know, knowledge is power, etc., that it's all best for the patient to know. So obviously when you have something that is so subject to societal change and to different attitudes in society, we know halacha doesn't change like that, that halacha doesn't change over the course of a couple of decades to go from one extreme to the other. There must be something, halacha must have something to say about this. Just by way of introduction, in the New England Journal of Medicine, April 5th, 2012, they did a study that concluded that patients who had recently received a cancer diagnosis had increased risks of both suicide and death from cardiovascular causes having nothing to do with their cancer, which means that finding out such terrible news has the ability to affect a person in a way where they could want to commit suicide, Rahman al-Islam, or even have a heart attack just from learning of their terrible diagnosis. And that's certainly something to take into account. So let's discuss the halakhic issues. So there are really two competing values in Judaism that are working against each other over here. One value is the value of truth. The Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Nun Hey Amud Aleph, Chosamo Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu Emes. Hashem's signature, Hashem's self-definition is Emes, it's truth. There are situations where we're allowed to tell something that's not true. The Gemara gives several examples. Mishan Mipnei HaShalom, we're allowed to lie for the sake of peace, very famously. The Gemara says elsewhere that one is allowed to lie about three different things that we're not going to get into right now. So there, it's not the highest value in Judaism, but it is a very high value in Judaism, the value of truth. And in fact, the Mishnah in the first parak of Pirkei Avos, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Lomer, Al Shlosha Devarim Ha'olam Kayam, Al Adin, V'Al Emes, V'Al Shalom, that there are three things the world stands on, and one of those things is MS. MS is a very, very high value. And if a patient says, "Doc, what's my diagnosis?" or asks the family, "What's my diagnosis?" so MS would dictate that you can't lie to the person. However, on the other side, there's also the element of preserving a person's spirits, keeping a person positive. The Gemara might cut them off, Chavavim Bey says, not to tell a sick person when his relative dies, because it will make him depressed, and that could hurt him in his own battle with his own illness, and that's Paskind in Shulchan Aruch Yerdeya Simen Shin Lamed Zayin. In fact, the Shach writes over there that even if he knows of the relative's death, he shouldn't tear Kriya, because the act of tearing Kriya, doing something active to show us an overt sign of mourning, will cause him to become dejected and upset, and that will likely hurt him in his own battle with his illness. So Dr. Abraham in Nishmas Avram Yerodeyasim Shinlam Zayin, quotes from Shlomo Zalman Orbach, that if an Avel is visiting the patient, they could remove any torn clothing and wear regular shoes to hide the fact that they're sitting Shiva from the patient. That even to see someone in that's sitting Shiva, that's going to give the patient the knowledge of someone close to him dying, you're allowed to violate Avelus, the normal laws of Avelus, in order to keep that information from the patient. So that's one area where we see that we're very sensitive to someone who is ill, feeling dejected. Also in Shulchan Aruch and Shinlam Chesef Aleph, Shulchan Aruch says if somebody's about to die, we encourage them to say vidui. But we can't just say vidui because you're about to die. We have to express it in a very sensitive way. We say harbe yisvadu velo mesu. Shulchan Aruch says, we tell the guy, you know, a lot of people have said vidui and then didn't end up dying. Vidui is always good for you. It's good for the soul to say vidui. So don't worry about it. You know, it doesn't necessarily mean you're going to die. And v'kol elu ha'dvarim einom lo b'fnei amaris lo b'fnei nashim lo b'fnei ketanim shem yifku v'yishpuru libo. And we don't have this conversation in front of people who are amei aretz or women or ketanim who are likely to cry, and that would break the patient's heart and that would cause him to become upset. And again, that we assume that that's going to have a negative effect on him. In fact, the Chachmas Adam writes in Shar Simcha Kal Kufnun Aleph that there was a minag in Kilos Kedoshos Beprat Bekilo Kedosha Berlin, that when a person got sick on the third day of his illness, the gabbai of the Bikur Cholim or someone else would come to him and would say, Atayadata Shekeinu Atikun Va'aminagetzel Kol HaCholim, that you know in our community, our minag is by all sick people, we say vidui in the third day. And it's nothing, it's just like, that's just what we do. It doesn't matter if you're very sick, what the diagnosis is, it's just what we do. And that way, it takes the teeth out of it a little bit and causes him to be able to not view it as like the biggest deal in the world and not see it as if it means that his life is ending. Also, the Shulchan Aruch and Simen Shin Lamates says that one should not make funeral arrangements while the Chola is still alive. Nishmas Avraham adds that you shouldn't even talk about his death if he seems to be sleeping or unconscious in the room. This happens very often. Someone's holding by the end and the family's sitting around the bed and there, and he seems to be totally unconscious. So they start talking about, well, where are we going to do the Levaya and the logistics of it all? And sometimes he's there, he's awake. This happened to someone in my family once. The Chola was there and they thought he was sleeping, and they started talking about where they can do the Levaya. He opens his eyes and he says, Shomri Adas, where do you think you're going to do the Levaya? And they're like, hey, they, what do we? So you have to be careful that you shouldn't have these kinds of conversations in front of the Chola, even if you think he doesn't hear anything. In Koheles Rabbah, the Medrash says that Chizkiyo Melech Yehuda, when he got sick, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent Yeshayo to tell him to get his affairs in order because he's going to die. And Chizkiyo tells Yeshayo, when you're Mevaker Achola, that's the way you come and you talk to me, you tell me I'm going to die, you should be Mechazik me. You're supposed to come and say, Min HaShemayim Yerachmu Alecha. It's totally inappropriate to tell Achola that he's going to die. Now, Yeshayo was a Navi. It was going to happen. And still he was criticized. How can you go and tell a person that he's definitely going to die? Rashi in Bereishis Perichav Gimel, when at the beginning of Parshas Chayes Sarah, why did Sarah die? Because she heard the news about how Yitzchak almost was shechted by Avraham, and that was and that surprised her, and then she dropped dead just from hearing the news. So you see, when something is delivered in a jarring way, it can have a tremendously negative impact on the recipient of the news. Rav Moshe writes in the Tshuva Negus Moshe Chosh Mishpach Bei Simenai in Gimel, he discusses a triage case where you have two cholim that come to the emergency room at one time. One of them is definitely going to die, but if you treat him, you might be able to extend his life by a certain amount of time. But he's definitely going to die from the wounds that he is suffering from. It's just we might be able to extend his life. Another chola is not definitely going to die. He might die, but he's going to die quickly if he's not treated immediately. So which one should you treat first? The one whose life you can definitely extend, or the one whose life you might not be able to do anything with, but if you do manage to save him, he'll have chayei olam, not just chayei sha. He'll be able to live for a long time. Very fascinating. And there's only one bed in the emergency room, or there's only one doctor that could treat. So which one should you treat first? So Moshe goes through which one's better to treat first, and he discusses the whole Indian but he says, but if the cholim realize what's going on, then whichever one came first, you have to treat first. Meaning then all bets are off, everything, because if he realizes that you're taking the other guy in first because I'm a lost cause, well then that's going to kill him. And the feeling dejected and feeling like he's a lost cause, that alone is going to have a terrible impact on him. So you have these two elements. You have MS, and then you have not wanting to make him feel as if his life is over. So what does the halacha say about this? So what do the poskim say about it? About this, there's a tshuva in Rabbi Tzal Stern, Mitzalah Chachma, Chelk Beisimun Nunhei. He says, don't tell a patient if a patient is diagnosed with cancer. They shouldn't tell him of his diagnosis. And even if a father is ill and demands that his son tell him what his diagnosis is, the son should not tell him, says Rabbi Tzal Stern. Tefillah always helps, and he's not going to daven as soon as he hears the word cancer. He's going to think his life is over. That is that's what Rabbi Tzal Stern wrote. Now, this was many decades ago, and the advancements in treatment of cancer are significant, and it also depends what kind of cancer. Sometimes people hear that word and they just feel like it's obviously a jarring diagnosis to have, but it doesn't always mean that a person is going to automatically give up. And at the time, what Rabbi Tzal Stern was saying was probably in line with what the medical community was doing anyhow. Not everyone agrees with Rabbi Tzal Stern. There's a tshuva in the Mishnah Halachas from Menashe Klein, Chelek Tesim, and Reshit Ches, where he says when there's no toeles for the chola whatsoever to let him know his illness and let him know his true diagnosis, you're not allowed to tell him. And if you do tell him, it's a very cruel thing to do, and it's kimat shvichus damim. It's kimat that you're going to kill him, because the matzav ruach of a person will go a long way in determining how long he's going to live and how whether he's going to be successful in battling his illness. And he says, v'kolshke mahagadol chas v'sholom shiyesh lo machlo kazusha bevada yamos mimena v'she yamav supurim vaday ein lomar imlo b'makom shiyesh is a siba dafka lomar l'tovaso. He says, certainly if it's really an imminently terminal diagnosis, there's no point in telling him unless you think that it's going to somehow, there's some reason why it's good for him to know, why it's important for him to know. Maybe he'll know how to seek a second opinion. Maybe he'll be able to seek alternative forms of treatment that might be able to help him. Maybe if there's some toelas, then certainly. But if there's no toelas, then there's no reason to tell him. Dr. Abraham, though, writes that most often that's not the case. Most often it's impossible or totally counterproductive for the patient not to know that he has cancer. Meaning, what are you going to? You're going to start giving him chemo, and he's not going to know that he's getting chemo, and all of his hair falls out, and everything. Most of the time, it's impossible. It's best, however, to be sensitive about it. How is one sensitive about it? So Dr. Abraham writes, first you tell the close family members, and the doctor, together with the close family members, should work on a strategy of how to present it in the most positive light, with giving the patient the most chizuk possible. If there's no treatment whatsoever, it's just palliative care, where it's at the end of life care and just trying to make him most comfortable, then it's really probably best not to tell him, because then it's not gonna help him in any way. It's probably only going to hurt him. Rabbi Bleich, in his book Judaism and Healing, on page 33, writes that there's no need to convey a precise diagnosis to the patient when such information can reasonably be withheld if the patient will identify the condition with a terminal malady. Meaning, if as soon as he hears certain trigger words, you can say you're very sick. You know, you can say, but as soon as he hears, some people, as soon as they hear the word cancer, that's it. They completely give up on life, and you certainly don't want to create that association in his mind. So you could dance around it without saying key words, but in a way of letting him know that he's in a grave situation, and therefore he should be inspired to be mispalel without and bolster his spirits and try to encourage him, and without, but not give him false hope either. Don't say, yeah, I'm sure everything's going to be okay. No, he should realize that he's in a grave situation, that he needs to daven, but a person has to balance these things. Meaning, like many things in life, when there's a conflict between two values that we have, a person has to figure out what the proper balance is. It's not that one is going to win win over the other. It's just important to note that if a person doesn't have a living will with provisions of who's going to make decisions for him, and it's possible that the caregiver is not going to follow the halacha on any of this, and they'll just do whatever the hospital protocol is. So it's very important for people to have plans for these kinds of things, not at your age, but certainly at a later age, to have plans in the event that they become ill, that adults should make sure that they take care of these things. And that's what they do. They have the RCA and the Aguda all have living will, which is essentially they designate a rabbi who should be consulted on any medical decisions together with the family before decisions are made. And that's always a good idea to do, to have someone who should be consulted on these kinds of decisions. Okay.